بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. We were talking about the story of the men and the two gardens, and the second fitna of Surah Al-Kahf was the fitna of money, the fitna of money. And so after finishing the story of the two gardens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then summarizes that story in a parable. Allah azza wa jal explains in even more detail what he means by the fitna of money. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Give the example of this world, حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, as if it is water, كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. We are sending it down from the skies. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. It mixes with the vegetation of this world. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ. It then becomes, hashim is like hay. It's the dry things that remain after the plant dies away. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And indeed, Allah is capable and Allah is aware of all things. Now, this example of the life of this world being like vegetation is a very common theme of the Quran. At least 7-8 times in the Quran, Allah says the example of this world is like vegetation, it's like grass, it's like the greenery. And this is an example that all of mankind would have gotten, except people like us who don't live in, we're city dwellers now. We're not used to the vegetation. Otherwise, everybody is aware that crops come and go, that leaves sprout forth. One year you harvest, the next year is gone. You need to replant half the stock, the entire stock. So the temporality of this world has been compared to a phenomenon that every human would be familiar with. And that is the crops that keep on having to be planted. They die, they wither away, they become hay. You have to plant it again. So Allah says, this world of yours is just like this vegetation. Just like this vegetation. And there's a number of commonalities. Number one, the fact that it is temporary. It's not going to last forever. Number two, the fact that it's luscious when it's alive. When it's green, mashallah, tabarakallah. Number three, when it's gone, it's useless. When it's gone, khalas, it goes away. You have no need for it after that. Just like this world, when it goes by, you cannot retrieve it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just like your vegetation around you, pay attention to it and you will learn from your own life as well. Also, some of the scholars have said, Allah compares this world to water. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ, to water. And this is a beautiful analogy. Why? Because we all need a little bit of water to live. But if too much water comes, we will drown and we will die. We need the right amount of water. And water is used to live. But if this is used in abundance, then even water will become something that destroys. And all you need to see is look at the tsunamis and look at the waves and the floods that happen even in this land of ours. When too much rain happens, it becomes destruction. So Allah says, this world, you need it a little bit. But if you immerse yourself too much into it, then it will cause your own destruction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that just like plants wither away and they become like hay that the wind tosses around, so too you will decay. So too your bones and your flesh will become absolutely nothing. So think about that which will remain forever. And Allah says as explicitly as possible, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Money and children is what makes this life beautiful. Zina is a decoration piece. And think about that. A decoration piece. What is a decoration piece used for? It pleases the eyes. You know, your house is full of decorations. This is zina. How do you really benefit from the zina? It's soothing to the eyes, but then so what? This is what Allah is saying. Al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayatid dunya. Your money and your children, this is what makes your life, it looks enjoyable to live. Also notice here, Allah says mal before He says banun. Why? Because money is always in our hearts. When we're young, when we're middle age, when we're old, we always want money. But children, we only want at one particular period of our lives. A 20-year-old, a 25-year-old, the last thing on his mind is children. He wants money. Once you get to 60, 70, also children, mashallah, you have them. You want money. So al-mal is number one, al-mal. And then banun, and then children. And of course, as we know, mal and banun, money and children, really does make life worth living. The greatest happiness for all humanity is to live comfortably with family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, this is true. So notice,
he doesn't negate it. He doesn't say it's not true. He says, yes, it is a zina. The Muslim uses it as a real zina, as a stepping stone to get to the next world. Whereas the non-Muslim, that money and that children will still be a zina, but it will be a temporary zina. So what is that which you should look for? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. The, and this is a very interesting point here, technically, those who know Arabic should pay attention to this. It should be وَالصَّالِحَاتُ الْبَاقِيَاتِ. The other way around. The good deeds that remain. Because what remains? The salihat remain. The salihat that are baqiyat, right? The good deeds that remain. But Allah flipped it around. وَالْبَاقِيَاتِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The remaining deeds that are good. In other words, Allah wants to emphasize the fact that good deeds are lasting forever. Even though from a linguistic perspective, it would make more sense, purely from a linguistic perspective, to say, وَالصَّالِحَاتُ الْبَاقِيَاتِ. The good deeds are those that will remain forever. But Allah wants to emphasize what makes good deeds different from everything else. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The things that remain forever, which happen to be good deeds. That which remains forever. So, mal, banun, they're like the hay, they're like the wind, they're like the fragrance, they're like the flowers. They come, they go, and khalas. What remains? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Ibn Abbas said, الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر ولله الحمد سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله الله أكبر. This is what Ibn Abbas said. الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ are سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. Another Sahabi said, الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is لا إله إلا الله. Another Sahabi said, الباقيات الصالحات is your salah. Another Sahabi said, الباقيات الصالحات is your dhikr. And the point is, all of these are valid. Good deeds of any type are the things that remain. And so Allah says, those good deeds that are eternal, that is خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا. That is the real reward. وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. And that's where you should put your amal, your hope in. Every one of us, we think about money, we think about children, we think about property, we think about luxury. Allah says, what should your amal be? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Don't put your aim, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ. Don't go to sleep calculating what's going to be my next year's income and this and that. That's something that is going to be temporary. Think about that which will be permanent. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدِ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Now, once Allah Azza wa Jal affirms that this world is temporary, He then jumps to what will be the final day, what will be the end result. So this world is temporary, so what is the end? يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزًا. On that day, we will change the mountains from their places. They won't be where they are. And you will see the whole earth. بَارِزًا means flat. It means there's not going to be anything on it. And we know from the Quran and Sunnah that وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, for example, right? And the sun is going to be folded and the moon is going to collapse. There's going to be a huge cataclysmic event that will change this whole world. As Allah says, on the day that the world will be changed into another world and the heavens will be changed to another heaven. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. Everything will be changed. So Allah says, on that day, the mountains which you consider to be the most stable, that's what lasts for centuries, for eons. The mountains will be moved. And the whole world will be laid flat. And we will bring every one of them. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ. Everyone will be brought forth. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. Not one of them will be forgotten. Not one of them will be left behind. And of course the point here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is threatening those who deny the Day of Judgment. That you think you're going to get away from this. No, on that day every one of you will be brought forth. No one will be forgotten. And وَعُرِضُوا عَلَى رَبِّكَ صَفَّا. They will be presented in front of their Lord in ranks and rows. And we learn from the Quran that every group of people will be with their own kind. So those who were idolaters, those who are this type, those who are munafiqoon, those who are kafir, each group will be in its own. And they will be saffa, they will be in ranks. Then Allah says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You have come back to us, just like we created you in the very first of times. And our Prophet ﷺ explained this, that he said, every human being will be resurrected in front of Allah, barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. You don't have the luxury luxuries. In this world, every one of us is accompanied by his luxuries. His clothes give him away, his watch gives him away, his car gives him away, his entourage gives him away. On that day, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا. Everyone will come one-on-one in front of us. And Allah says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. As you came into this world with nothing, you didn't have a scrap of cloth on your back, so too you will come back having absolutely nothing of what you had in this world. Where is your mal? Where is your banoon? It's all gone like the dust in the wind, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّن نَجْعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. You presumed that there would not be an appointment. You denied this appointment, but there is indeed an appointment. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. And the book is brought forth. This is the book of our own deeds. The kitab over here is the book that the kiram and katibin are writing. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. One word that comes out and the angel writes it down. So these are the angels that are writing our own book. And this is a reference. The book is referred to in the Quran in multiple times. In Surah Isra, for example, Allah says, we will give them the book. اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكْ. You go and read your own book. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You can be your own judge when you see your own results. And the Prophet said, this book will be read by the literate and the illiterate. It doesn't matter, even if you didn't know how to read. This book, you will be able to read it. Why? Because you are the author. You're the one who authored it, except the angels wrote it down, but it's your deeds. And so Allah says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. The book will be placed in front of them. The book will be opened up in front of them. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ. The criminals, and I mentioned this in a tafsir that we gave recently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls those who reject Him and those who worship others besides Him, He calls them criminals, مُجْرِم. Literally, to this day, when an Arab says a criminal, he uses the word Mujrim. Mujrim means a criminal. It's not mushrik and kafir. Allah says mujrim. Anybody who was so arrogant and so haughty as to deny Allah, to worship other than Allah, this man is a criminal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the term mujrim is a common term for those who were too arrogant to worship Allah and to be righteous people. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِ. And by the way, mujrim encompasses those Muslims who are not righteous. This includes them. That they didn't live good lives even if they knew the truth. Allah doesn't say kafir here. Allah says mujrim. And a Muslim can be a fasiq. A Muslim can be a bad Muslim, as we say. And so the mujrim incorporates anybody who was not faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mujrim will say, the mujrim will be mushfiq. And mushfiq means the very precise term, terrified of the consequences. Shafaqa is to be terrified of what's going to happen. They're terrified of the consequences of this result. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِي. They're terrified of what is in this book. وَيَقُولُونَ مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. And they will say, what is the matter with this book? Where did this book come from? They're getting angry at the book, even though they should get angry at themselves. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Where is this book? What is this book? To explain this book to me. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. There is neither small nor large, except that this book has meticulously preserved it. أحصَى means to write it in explicit detail. Not إِلَّا كَتَبَهَا. Not إلا أشار إليها إلا أحصاها. And أحصاها means to write it in meticulous detail. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mujrim will get angry at the book because he recognizes this book has not left anything out. And Allah says, don't get angry at the book. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. All that you have done, it is in front of you. This is your deeds. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord is not going to be unjust to you. This is your deeds. This is what you have done, and nobody else will take responsibility for it other than you. And after Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the end of times, Allah then reverses back in time and goes to the beginning of times. It is as if Allah is saying the beginning and the end. So after talking about Yawm Al-Qiyamah, instantaneously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to the beginning of the creation, as if to tell us this isn't anything new. And there's another beautiful reason why this is mentioned over here. And that is, if you remember 3 days ago, we mentioned the Quraysh were too arrogant to sit with the quote-unquote low class of the Muslims, Bilal and Salman, they didn't want to sit with them. And this arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you're not the first to have it. There was a being who had the same arrogance, the same kibr, and that being was none other than Iblis. And when you do this, you don't want to do what Allah commands you to do, you are acting, you are imitating Iblis. When you don't want to be in the company of the righteous, you will be in the company of Iblis. So there's another reason why the story of Iblis is mentioned here. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. When we said to the malaika, bow down to Adam, all of them prostrated except for Iblis. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Iblis was of the jinn. And this is a very explicit evidence that we mentioned in our class that we gave about Adam and the creation of Adam, the long class that we gave, that Iblis was of the jinn, he was not of the angels as some of the other religions believe. And this verse is as explicit as possible. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. He was of the jinn. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So he swerved away from the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. He showed you this arrogance from the very beginning. Now, O Quraysh, O evil people, are you going to take him as your ally? When he refused to honor you from day one, do you think he's going to honor you now? When he hated you from when you were created, do you think he will love you now? Will you take him and his progeny? And this also shows us, by the way, that Iblis has children. And the children of Iblis are the leaders of the evil. And some of the scholars have said, each child has taken one spectrum of evil. So one shaitan causes, let's say, divorce. One shaitan causes fahisha. One shaitan causes this. So this is what the scholars have said. There's no authentic hadith about this, but it's not too much of a stretch, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ. His dhurriya, his children. So Iblis has sons. Iblis has children. And obviously, what does the chief do? He appoints his children as the positions of power. So it's not too much of a stretch to say, and this is something the early scholars have said, that each of the children of Iblis has been assigned one major evil, murder and whatever, and their job is to just go ahead and propagate that evil to mankind. And there's some evidence to this as well, that for example, one Sahabi said, I have a problem concentrating in Salah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, that is a shaitan whose name is Khinzab. His job is to cause you to not concentrate in salah. You don't have khushu'. So what does this mean? Every problem in the world, there's one shaitan, it's his responsibility to tempt you to it. So all of this fits in to what Allah says over here. How could you take him and his children as partners instead of me? And they have been your enemy. بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ badala. How evil of a substitution it is for the wretched, for the sinners. Meaning, O Quraysh, instead of turning to the righteous, instead of admitting yourself to the company of the prophets, to the company of the salihin, you have instead gone over to the side of Iblis. What an evil substitution. بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ badala. How could you have gone from this side to that side? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final verse that we'll do, مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُودًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the Quraysh into their place and anybody who rejects and denies him. Allah says, مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. These beings that you are worshipping, the shayateen that you're worshipping, the idols that you're worshipping, they were not around when I created the creation. I didn't show them how I created the creation. If I didn't even show them how the creation was created, how then do you think they are powerful over the creation? How then do you think they share with me in the creation? How then can you worship them besides me? They weren't even around. مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. I didn't even have them when I created you. They weren't there when I created you. Right? وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُودًا. And Allah says, I will never take those who cause people to go astray as helpers. The meaning here, the Quraysh said, these idols are Allah's helpers. That was the point here. The Quraysh said, Allat is Allah's helper. Al-Uzza is Allah's helper. And Allah is saying, these beings are shayateen. And they were not around when I created the creation. They were not there. They didn't even see it. So they don't share any power with me. And if I wanted to take help from somebody, do you really think I would take help from mudillin, from those who are evil, from those who are causing people to go astray? وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُدًا. InshaAllah, tomorrow we'll finish off one more passage. And then the day after tomorrow, we'll begin with the story of Musa and Khidr. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.